Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is addressing Congress. Let's take a listen.
We'll read of a powerful Persian viceroy named Aman, who plotted to destroy the Jewish people some 2,500 years ago. But a courageous Jewish woman, Queen Esther, exposed the plot and gained for the Jewish people the right to defend themselves against their enemies. The plot was foiled. Our people were saved. Today, the Jewish people face another attempt by yet another Persian potentate to destroy us. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, spews the oldest hatred of anti-Semitism with the newest technology. He tweets that Israel must be annihilated. He tweets. You know, in Iran, there isn't exactly free internet. But he tweets in English that Israel must be destroyed. For those who believe that Iran threatens a Jewish state, but not the Jewish people, listen to Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, Iran's chief terrorist proxy. He said, "If all the Jews gather in Israel, it will save us the trouble of chasing them down around the world." But Iran's regime is not merely a Jewish problem, any more than the Nazi regime was merely a Jewish problem. The 6 million Jews murdered by the Nazis were but a fraction of the 60 million people killed in World War II. So too, Iran's regime poses a grave threat not only to Israel, but also to the peace of the entire world. To understand just how dangerous Iran would be with nuclear weapons, we must fully understand the nature of the regime. The people of Iran are very talented people. They're heirs to one of the world's great civilizations. But in 1979, they were hijacked by religious zealots who imposed on them immediately a dark and brutal dictatorship. That year, the zealots drafted a constitution, a new one for Iran. It directed the Revolutionary Guards not only to protect Iran's borders, but also to fulfill the ideological mission of jihad. The regime's founder, Ayatollah Khomeini, exhorted his followers to export the revolution throughout the world. I'm standing here in Washington, D.C., and the difference is so stark. America's founding document promises life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Iran's founding document pledges death, tyranny, and the pursuit of jihad. And as states are collapsing across the Middle East, Iran is charging into the void to do just that. Iran's goons in Gaza, its lackeys in Lebanon, its Revolutionary Guards on the Golan Heights are clutching Israel with three tentacles of terror. Backed by Iran, Assad is slaughtering Syrians. Backed by Iran, Shiite militias are rampaging through Iraq. Backed by Iran, Houthis are seizing control of Yemen, threatening the strategic straits at the mouth of the Red Sea. Along with the Straits of Hormuz, that would give Iran a second choke point on the world's oil supply. Just last week, near Hormuz, Iran carried out a military exercise blowing up a mock U.S. aircraft carrier. That's just last week, while they're having nuclear talks with the United States. But unfortunately, for the last 36 years, Iran's attacks against the United States have been anything but mock, and the targets have been all too real. Iran took dozens of Americans hostage in Tehran, murdered hundreds of American soldiers, Marines, in Beirut, and was responsible for killing and maiming thousands of American servicemen and women in Iraq and Afghanistan. Beyond the Middle East, Iran attacks America and its allies through its global terror network. It blew up the Jewish Community Center and the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. It helped al-Qaeda bomb U.S. embassies in Africa. It even attempted to assassinate the Saudi ambassador right here in Washington, D.C. In the Middle East, Iran now dominates four Arab capitals, Baghdad, Damascus, Beirut, and Sana'a. And if Iran's aggression is left unchecked, more will surely follow. So at a time when many hope that Iran will join the community of nations, Iran is busy gobbling up the nations. We must all stand together to stop Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror. Now, 2 years ago, we were told to give President Rouhani and Foreign Minister Zarif a chance to bring change and moderation to Iran. Some change, some moderation. Rouhani's government hangs gays, persecutes Christians, jails journalists, and executes even more prisoners than before. Last year, the same Zarif, who charms Western diplomats, laid a wreath at the grave of Imad Mournia. Imad Mournia is the terrorist mastermind who spilled more American blood than any other terrorist besides Osama bin Laden. I'd like to see someone ask him a question about that. Iran's regime is as radical as ever. Its cries of death to America, that same America that it calls the Great Satan, as loud as ever. Now, this shouldn't be surprising, because the ideology of Iran's revolutionary regime is deeply rooted in militant Islam. And that's why this regime will always be an enemy of America. And don't be fooled. The battle between Iran and ISIS doesn't turn Iran into a friend of America. Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. One calls itself the Islamic Republic. The other calls itself the Islamic State. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire, first on the region and then on the entire world. They just disagree among themselves who will be the ruler of that empire. In this deadly Game of Thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel, no peace for Christians, Jews, or Muslims who don't share the Islamist medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS.
Well, there you have the Israeli Prime Minister addressing Congress. Both houses live is what we're bringing to you. Unlike what other media channels in the West, in particular the U.S., have said that no station in Iran is going to cover this, we are covering that. And as a matter of fact, we have a round table that's going to dissect some of the statements that are made by the Israeli Prime Minister. Instead of me reviewing some of the highlights, I'm going to have the panel do that. Let me introduce them. We have Professor Kazem Sajjadpour. He is from the School of International Relations, who joins us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hamid Rezaei Mahdi, Press TV Newsroom Director, also part of this panel. Welcome. And Ruzbe Ali Abadi, Managing Partner of CGA and also a political commentator, also joins us. Welcome to you all. Let me first start with you, Professor Sajjadpour. What you think of some of the harsh statements leveled there against Iran by the Israeli Prime Minister. And what I found interesting was the fact that I thought he was trying to pose Iran as a threat to Israel, which he did, but then also turned into posing Iran as a threat to the United States towards the end there when we cut him off.
I think if you want to understand what he's talking about, we have to answer this question. Why he's talking there? And why at this moment? The content, I think, is clearly just a dark picture of Iran. Nothing is good at all. 36 years of radicalism, terrorism, according to him, and whatever. I mean, only black and white picture, and the picture, of course, is white. So I think the content that he talks about even doesn't deserve a minimal attention. Of course, you will pay later attention to its detail, but it doesn't deserve. What's important, why he's talking? Why he's talking so? That's a very important question analytically, and understanding the context, not just the text. And the context is clear. First of all, I think he's a loser. In loser of double edge. Loser inside Israeli politics, and I think this is just a propaganda campaign for domestic consumption, for bringing the right wing in the United States and in Israel for his support in the coming election. You know, he has not been able to really advance the Israeli economy as he promised to, or solve the economic challenges of Israel. Economy is not as it should be. So it's a re-election campaign, and the campaign is based on a security issue. Security issue means creating an enemy, and I think in this regard he's campaigning. So it's a part of Israeli domestic campaign. And he seems loser, and he's a type of political activity to regain some votes. But the second side is very important, and there's a loser in a battle which he started, and that was to stop the Iranian negotiation with 5+1. I think his words wouldn't impact at all the quality of the negotiation which is going on. Why? Because the negotiation has already been to a level of non-return point. Yes, it has a lot of ups and downs. It's a process. You may see it some aspect Iranians don't agree, some 5+1. But as a process, it has been a successful process.